Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Literally an institution in this town of digging up old photos, old stories, collections, everything you can imagine under the sun about this great city.
Greasy spoons, dives, old clubs.
If you love this city, you're going to love it even more.
Real people, real stories, real places.
This is the Austin Found Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in. It's good to have you back. I'm going to introduce you first this time.
All right.
Michael Barnes.
I am Michael Barnes. And you are J.B. Hager.
Yeah. We're with the Austin American Statesman. This is Austin Found, a collection of you know, short, shareable, conversational stories about unique things about this city that Michael's been collecting for how long?
Oh, decades.
Yeah. Decades and decades. And has put them into a collection of books called Indelible Austin, which you should pick up. By the way, I think you could easily say this is one of Austin's early fine dining restaurants.
Absolutely.
And destinations.
Absolutely.
And that's Green Pastures.
Green Pastures, which is sounds beautiful, and it is beautiful. It's located in a 1890s farmhouse on a fair chunk of land in South Austin in the Bolden neighborhood, surrounded by beautiful mature oaks and peacocks.
Yes.
Sometimes controversial.
Right.
Peacocks.
I just saw them the other day. I came down that street on my bike, and I, you know, looked to it, and there was
the fearless.
Peacock. Yeah. Yeah. They're loud, too.
And they're loud.
But they're beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So let's preserve them. It's interesting when you talk about, well, I'm going to jump around a little bit. It is now referred to as Maddie's, if you're looking
at the restaurant there is called Maddie's.
And that is homage to
Maddie Falk, who was the wife of Henry Falk, a crusading lawyer who wanted to move out there because he wanted more cows. And because this was when it was built, it was very much country, more than 2 miles from downtown. And then even in the 1940s, it was still pretty rural out there and is outside the city limits.
I guess we haven't, if people are new to Austin, we haven't really painted a picture of exactly where it sits.
Right. It's on Live Oak Street, mm-hmm. In between South First and the railroad tracks.
So on today's standards, that's very close to downtown,
yeah.
Which is what's funny.
It's definitely Central City now. But it was a beautiful piece of land, lots of trees out there, and they ran a chicken farm and a dairy. The original owner was a physician named Dr. Herndon. He built it in 1893, and then the Falks bought it from him. And as I said, Henry Falk was a son of a sharecropper, Alabama sharecropper, and he became a lawyer, and he was very much somebody who took care of the indigent. A lot of times the African Americans in the city especially were hauled into jail for whatever reason, and he would go to the jail and say, we're going to take care of this.
It's nice to hear stories like that given the climate today,
right.
In the summer of
Absolutely.
2020, right?
And his son, their son, Maddie, and Henry's son was John Henry Falk, the famed comedian and First Amendment champion who was on Hee Haw.
Was he on Hee Haw?
He was on Hee Haw.
Really?
And very progressive. He fought against the Hollywood blacklisting code and won in court. It was a signature case. They had a daughter. They had several children. They had a daughter, Mary Falk Cook, K-O-O-C-K. And she was the one who started the Green Pastures restaurant.
In 1946.
That's right. Or at least that's when they began having people there, when they began charging them I don't know, but it was all the same meals, the same dishes that she had been cooking up there for guests for a long time.
And when I was growing up in Austin, now it seems more like an event space, or you right. go there for just to have cocktails. And as I was growing up, that was a very special occasion place to go for dinner. That was a big prom destination.
Right. You know? Well, for many years, she sold it to her son, Ken, a cook, and he brought in a business partner, and it was the fancy place to go. It was a little bit stiff and formal for Austin, although nothing in Austin gets that formal.
Right.
But it was the kind of thing you want to put on a jacket. And,
yeah.
And there was linen everywhere and flowers everywhere, and the food was good. And, as you say, derived from the South and the Southern food ways. Now, the people who took it over, Greg Porter and Jeff Trigger, redid everything, made it both more historical with portraits and things named after
they
members
really,
of the family.
They want to preserve the history of how it got there, all the Green Pastures history.
Oh, and they have drilled their waiters. They know everything about the families who lived there.
Right. You see a portrait on the wall, you ask the bartender, he's going to give you the story.
And they brought back certain things, like biscuits that were at Green Pastures. They've brought back drinks.
Maddie did some cookbooks.
Right? No, it was Mary.
It was Mary, the daughter.
The daughter.
Did cookbooks, preserving some of those old recipes.
Absolutely. And that's a fantastic cookbook. It's called Texas Cookbook, and I use it all the time. There's another book that came out of the place. The longtime maitre d', Mitchell Mays, wrote Stories and Tales of Green Pastures, and that was excerpted in Austin chef Tony Tipton Martin's book, award-winning book, The Jemima Code, Two Centuries of African-American Cookbooks.
On the subject of African-Americans, I think what's interesting about, let's paint a picture of when this property went up. St. Ed's was there before it. And the School for the Deaf.
Mm-hmm.
Not a whole lot else.
Very few residents.
And portions of that was another freedman's colony.
It's been called Brackenridge or South Austin. And it was on the western side of South Congress in what is called the Swisher Edition, which was named after one of the founding families who owned a big farm down there in Bolden. Bolden itself was named after the landowner whose plantation house is where Becker School is now. It's got a lot of rich history, but as you were suggesting, it was not, there was very little density.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were poor people living along the creeks, which, you know, they could homestead there. There were maybe no more than 10 substantial structures in what is now Bolden. And Green Pastures became one of those, perhaps the most famous.
And then Tom Miller, who we've discussed, former mayor, mm-hmm. some time ago, declared Maddie as the First Lady of South Austin at that time.
It's a big title. And also coming out of that family, Karen Kirkendall, who was Mary Manchester's daughter. The cooks came from Mason. They had a wonderful store and eating establishment there, and they were known for feeding you even if you didn't have money right away. You know, they were one of those wonderful pioneer families.
They would get, from your story, they would give away a lot of the milk that they produced there.
Yeah, and John Henry Falk, when he was growing up, he had his own cow. He would milk it and take it to the poor people down on the creeks.
And you mentioned Karen Kirkendall, who is an actor and a singer.
Now, I got to know Karen almost immediately as soon as I became the theater critic in the 1980s, because she was the brightest star in our theatrical firmament here. She was an incredibly striking woman who had this wonderful, strange, deep voice, and she could do anything. She was very outspoken, and she was a pal of Governor Ann Richards and all that crowd, you know, Liz Carpenter and so forth. And she could hold her own with any of them, and she wisecracking. But she met her husband, Marshall. Marshall's still alive.
But she grew up in that house, correct?
Yes, yeah. She grew up, as did dozens
a lot
people.
Of people. At one time you mentioned there were 17 people.
Family members living in the house. Yeah, it's a pretty big house.
And there's a back house, which we'll get to next.
Yeah. Well, the back house was the original house. Everybody thought it was an add-on.
Mm.
But it was actually, they discovered in the process of renovating it, and top preservation architect Emily Little did all of the work on it. They found out that it predates all the section that you normally see when you drive in, you know, with the porches and stuff like that.
Yeah, you see it on the way out because there's a back way out.
Well, there is.
Which is odd.
Yeah.
It's odd that you're in a neighborhood and then you go around and sometimes like, can I go out that way? And you go right out the back. And that back home, the original, you mentioned, had 10 fireplaces in it.
At one point, I think the whole thing did. I don't know when that was. But one of the things about going out the back entrance is that painted on the staircase on each step, with different words, be kind to those you pass on the way up as you may meet them on your way down. What a great philosophy of life.
Right? That's very good. That's very, very good. You know, if you think about it, in today's Austin boom, a big chunk of dirt like that in that area would be worth a fortune. Now, mm-hmm. I'm guessing it's historical.
Protected.
It's protected, yeah.
They used to have much, much more land, and you can tell when they began to sell it off.
Okay.
But it was a big, you can tell by wandering around that neighborhood when they started selling off the land. But it's still a big chunk of property.
Oh, I think it's only fair to mention, because another operator at one time from 95 to 2015, Bob Buslett was involved. Mm-hmm. And we've made mention of Nighthawk Restaurant many
right.
times.
He had come from the Nighthawk chain, and he was a bartender there, and he shared wonderful memories. Yeah, the Nighthawk chain, interestingly, they both were among the early integrators. They were among the first to desegregate not only their kitchens, but their dining areas.
And so was Green Pastures.
Green Pastures early. May be the earliest.
Oh, wow.
And then the Nighthawk chain, certainly after them in the late 50s. At a certain time, they were part of like a progressive faction in Austin that believed all that could be done if you just persuaded people to do it. And you didn't necessarily need to change the laws. And then they realized, no, we need to change the laws. We're not going to get around to those.
And those current operators, which, you know, they rebranded it as Maddie's not that long ago. We might also know them from what other projects?
Oh, lots of things. The Driscoll Hotel, the restaurant there, and also Second Street.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the one behind Second Street? Oh, Congress.
Oh, right.
Oh, that was great. Now, talk about a special event place.
Yeah.
You could only afford to go there maybe once every 2 years.
Right.
I'm sure other people with expense accounts went all the time. I loved that place. And it just did not, it couldn't sustain itself. They're connected. The Second Bar and Kitchen and Congress were mm-hmm. connected restaurants.
Yeah.
And the same kitchen. But the Congress concept, which reminded me so much of great restaurants in Chicago or San Francisco, it just wouldn't, it didn't make it.
I mentioned that it feels like South, which Austin doesn't have a lot of that vibe to me when I'm thinking like way Southeast, you know, Georgia, you know, there you can even get like a real Southern drink there too, mm-hmm, right? Yeah. If you were going to duck in for a cocktail, it might be.
You might get a mint julep.
You might get a mint julep. So go check that out. That's now currently Maddie's.
Yes.
Thanks for tuning into the Austin Found podcast. You can also read about Maddie's and Green Pastures in particular in volume 2 of Indelible Austin, and pick up all the volumes while you're at it.
I'm Michael Barnes.
And I'm JB Hager. Thanks for tuning in to Austin Found.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.